Hi, I'm Garrett with IDC Woodcraft, and I'd like to welcome you to this podcast where we discuss CNC business and what it takes to create a very successful business. If you are someone who is wanting to get into business with a CNC machine, or you have one and it's not working out for you the way you thought it would, you will find this podcast, particularly this podcast series, very compelling, where you are going to learn what it takes to build the foundations of a business as opposed to just diving in and hoping for the best. When it comes to business, it's all about strategy and understanding your market, the customer that you really want to serve. You'll understand this as you go along in this episode. However, if you have not listened to episode 1 or episode 2 of this mentoring session, you will be lost in this one. You will not understand what's going on. So you have to go listen to those first. I will put links in the description of this podcast so you can go listen to those. When all is said and done, you may want to sign up to the CNC Entrepreneurs Facebook group. There will be a link down below as well, and perhaps sign up to the email list that I have where I can work with you a bit more closely. So without further ado, we are going to dive into this mentoring session with Mark. This is going to take a little while. It's about an hour and a half long, but it's very important, detailed stuff. You'll understand it as you get through it. The first thing I have to do is a 30-second advertisement blurb about the podcast service I use so that they will let me use it. 30 seconds, and then we'll dive right into mentoring Mark. Episode 3. Make sure you listen to 1 and 2 first. Let's go.
Very cool. Hey, Mark. How's
it
going?
How you doing?
All right, good, all right. Good. Yeah, welcome to mentoring session number 3, my friend.
Episode number 3. Yeah, looking forward to this. It's yesterday I got a message from somebody, and it turns out they're about 10 minutes away from where my daughter lives. So it's kind of funny how our discussions and then that up being on YouTube, some guy that, I mean, he's basically the same kind of background and everything, and he's also got a long mill, so we started talking, and then I checked him out on Facebook, and lo and behold, he also sails, and he sails out of the same club that when I first moved to Toronto I started racing out of. So it's crazy, small world. And so really excited about some of the connections.
Yeah, so are you saying that somebody's been watching these mentoring sessions and they made contact with you as a result?
Yeah, directly just wanted to chat and just have a personal communication with me. So
very cool.
It was, you know, it's the last session was not easy, and it took a couple of days to kind of get through it. However,
why kind of feelings and stuff, right?
Yeah. And but you know, meeting up with this guy David and hearing his story and everything, you know, that's I guess it's worthwhile, right? I mean, it's pushed me to get some things done. And I'm kind of excited about that spinoff. I was a little nervous about being public about all this stuff, and I helped him. So that's cool.
So how do you feel about that?
Bit of responsibility.
Yeah. Well, good.
Bit of accountability. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew it was there, but it wasn't tangible. Now it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Excellent. So just in reflection to that, when we're wanting to make these kind of changes and we're not willing to expose the reasons, maybe we'll just call it an ego, right? I can't tell people I'm not happy anymore, right? It's, when you become vulnerable, it gives other people permission to do the same thing, and they right. relate with you. And so this guy, David, you know, David, hats off. You are now on a mentoring journey as well into a life that, from what I just gathered from the dialogue, is not fulfilling you anymore. And you want something else. So, and Mark is an inspiration to you. So very, very cool. I see you're in a different room this time. You are by your CNC, and that's a long mill CNC router. I recognize that puppy.
That's the long mill. Yep.
It's
got the laser on it too, which the wiring's a little kludgy, but I had to slam it together to get a project done, but it's there.
Right. Okay, cool. So it's a good thing. I'm glad that you actually have a long mill because, yeah, that's what I work with. And
yeah, I was saying to the guys, I used to store my, my snow tires. Right. And yeah. So when I was changing over and, putting my, my summer tires on, I was kind of standing on the table here. I was standing on the table right there and I stumbled and I ended up putting my foot right smack dab on the main, on the crossbeam there on the,
gantry.
And I'm like, oh no. And the thing didn't budge. It was rock solid. So yeah, I haven't stood on it like you did. You crazy fool.
Oh, you saw my review video then, huh?
Yeah. I haven't stood on it, but, you know, deliberately or intentionally, but I ran it afterwards and everything was perfect smooth. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a beast.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So just because this mentoring session has been made public, Mark is talking about me standing on a long mill on my machine. I did a review and was very impressed with the way the machine was built and the engineering behind it. And I stood on top of the machine in the video. I ran the machine while I was standing on it. So if you, as a watcher of this mentoring session, are kind of curious about that, I'll put a link down below in the description so you can watch that. Okay. So
yeah, Mark, you're going to spin off a bunch of people now doing, carving standing on their long mill.
There's got to be like a new what do you want to call it, a new trend, right?
There you go. There's gonna be TikTok videos of people standing on their CNC routers. This is where it all started.
I might actually do that just for the fun of it. Okay, well, let's kind of get down into this mentoring session, do a quick review to last week. I just want to kind of do it like just a quick intro, because this is public, and so I want to make sure that whoever watches this understands this. Mark is someone who, this is a series of videos where I am mentoring Mark, and as a requirement to mentor Mark, after you approached me to ask me to do that, I said one of the requirements is to make it public, because it's going to help a lot of other people, and Mark has just reflected that it actually helped somebody, and so that's why these are here. This is the third mentoring session. There's several of them. There'll be links down below. I always recommend going to the first one before you watch through this one and go in a progression, because this isn't a progression. If you just watch this one, you're going to be lost because you're not going to understand why Mark is where he's at right now. Okay, so Mark, with that being said to whoever watches this, and by the way, whoever's watching this, I'm really glad you're here. This is getting you up and running in your business. So let's kind of talk about the tasks that you had to do last week and to cover over through the week. And then we're going to get into the next steps. So the first one was we got into your why. Mm-hmm. And we got all the way down to the bottom of the why, which is you don't want to be a failure. You want to be a success to you, and you want your family to feel comfortable that you are the provider. That's kind of some of the offshoots, right? You got your daughter and your spouse, and so that's one of the things. But when it really comes down to it, you want to be a winner, right? You want to feel inside that you don't have to chase things around, and you want to do something that feels meaningful to you. So we got to the why of basically you don't want to fail again.
Yeah.
And one of the things you were supposed to do is write down, do I want to be a failure? All right. And we also pinned a number that you need to hit in 6 months.
Yes.
Six weeks.
Six weeks.
And that number is 5.5K. And you were to write that down.
Yes.
And plaster that everywhere.
Yes.
So, and one of the places was in your shop. So
yes.
Have you done that?
Yeah, it's right here.
Okay.
See it when I walk in the shop.
All right. Okay. I will be successful. Okay. So one of the things that's missing there is the question, do I want to be a failure? Right?
Okay.
It says, let me see that again. I will be successful. Okay. So the idea is I want to paint this really clearly. someone actually made a comment on the last video when we talked about this. And, you know, I want to make sure that you have this sign that asks you, do I want to be a failure? And someone made a comment, make sure you put up there, I am a winner. Yeah, the power of positive thinking, which is very fundamental.
Yep.
However, if we don't understand why we can't seem to become winners, then we won't become that winner, right? So we have to be in touch with that pain of why are we going away from it in the first place? What are we going away from? And so you identified you want to move away from the idea that you're going to fail again.
Right.
And so you have to, until you have completely removed that from your mind, that I'm a failure, the fear factor of failing again, that has to be in front of you. So you've got to make another sign that asks you, do I want to be a failure? Because that is going to take you into that emotion of, oh my God, that is the worst feeling in the world. I do not want to go back there again.
So what you wanted to say, do I want to be a failure?
Yeah. Yeah. Do I want to fail? Do I want to be a failure? Do I want to fail again? Anything that's going to trigger that pain of, oh my God, I know what that feels like, and I am not willing to go back there again. Actually, the word again is probably a good word to put in there. Because you know the pain of failure. Do I want to fail again? No. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. You got it.
Trying to get that in focus for you. There you go.
All right, I can see it. And you got the 5.5K. All right. So that's your trigger. This is an emotional trigger. So the power of positive words are important. The power of knowing the other side and the pain of the other side is also equally important. There is something they call the law of opposites. I will probably touch base with that later, but just to touch base on that here is everybody, I went down this road, so I'll express it from my position. I did a lot of the positive thinking, positive affirmations. I am a winner. I'm making this much money, blah, blah, blah. Nothing was working. Why? Because I didn't understand the pain of the other side. I didn't understand the total deepest roots. So since I am a winner wasn't working, I had to go in the opposite direction and start asking, do I want to go into my pain?
Yeah.
Right. And so that's just that. Okay. So the next things, we got that fixed. You were to make a list of your customers.
Yep.
Okay. So have you got that list made?
Yeah, it's on my computer, but yeah, I've got it.
Okay, good, good. All right. We're going to come back to that one in a little bit. And we talked about, we'll come back to that too. Review of Etsy stores. So did you just take a look at a couple of them?
I did. Yeah. I started just looking for ideas and I found kind of three kind of different things that were there. There were people that on Etsy that were producing, I'll put it this way, I don't know how they're making money. Their products, I mean, they're using exotic hardwoods like Purple Heart and Paduk and walnut and mahogany in their boards, and they're selling them for like $40 for an inch and a half thick 12 by 16. They're selling for $40-$50. I mean, the labor, they're not making any money off of that. So I saw that, and so that's a bit discouraging because, you know, kind of looking at from a pricing model, they need to be in the $150 range, if not a little bit higher. So, but they don't personalize them either. So that's one thing. I then, as you said, I came across many people that do everything. There was one guy, he was showing, I think it was 162 or 164, I can't remember the number, different products that he's selling. And it was everything from lawn furniture to tables to end tables to signs to CNC work, you name it, he was making and selling it. And then the third group was the kind of single product, or they had one product or one product line and they had a second product line. I didn't find anybody in the cutting board space that was doing that, but it was more in kind of the home decor side of it, where it's, they've got, you know, kind of glass and jars and it's all kind of one way. And then on the flip side, they also had an entire resin line. So things they were doing with resin, beach scenes and water and all that kind of stuff. So I found the guy that had everything. I didn't know what the hell he did, quite frankly. I found the person that was under like El Cheapo. I found I was getting angry with that person because if my customer is looking on Etsy for the same thing that I'm selling for 150 or 175 and they're selling it for 50 or 40, they're kind of killing the marketplace like that. So that's a bit frustrating. I found the woman that had the two different product lines. I found that that seemed to make sense to me. It was organized. She had a bit too many options, but conceptually it made sense to me. So I didn't feel overwhelmed by her.
Okay. So just to reflect on that, the intention to look at the Etsy stores, and I'm saying this for anybody maybe watching this mentoring session, was to, when it comes to being in a niche and having a niche, the importance of having a niche and being very clear about that niche and presenting that to the customer, that this is the niche that I sell my products in, right? That you can draw from. Mark was just saying he came across one where this guy had 160 some odd products and they were all over the place. So what is happening here? You said, you didn't really know what the guy did. And That's the whole thing. He doesn't know what he's doing. And He doesn't have a clear niche. He's just trying to hit everything. And that confuses the customer.
Right.
Someone has a store and they are selling everything under the sun, they're essentially a Walmart, because it can be a high-end Walmart, doesn't really matter. The thing is, they are not focused in on what they do best. And they are trying to hit so many things. They're just trying to make money. And all they're doing is confusing their own life and making so much work for themselves. When you get a niche, you can become a master at it. So right. I want to talk about something else. You actually made a key point here. You saw someone who is selling very similar stuff to you, cutting boards out of expensive lumber, and they're selling them at cheap prices. And that here they're undercutting what you do. And I want you to get that completely out of your mind. And here's why. We identified your avatar or the person that's going to be buying your stuff. We talked about rewarding Renee, right? Yeah. And rewarding Renee, as you said in the last thing, is not a Walmart buyer. She's a specialty buyer.
Yeah.
So rewarding Renee is going to see a $40 cutting board and know that that's cheap, right? That she's going to have the inner feeling that I'm worth more than that. So by undercutting, that person who's undercutting themselves and barely making ends meet with that, they are going after, we'll just categorize it, Walmart level spenders,
right?
Maybe a little bit higher, right? But we're just categorizing to identify it. Whereas your category is the specialty spender.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Rewarding Renee is going for uniqueness, and there's this concept of pricing that, how do I put this? You've seen something and the price is low and you're going, that's cheap. What's wrong with that? Right. It's just, it's too cheap. Black and Decker tools versus a I hate to say it, I mean yeah. Black and Decker is, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's that idea. So you don't even care about that person. You don't care about that market. You're going to focus on rewarding Mary. And the difference that's going to stand out is you may have an Etsy store, but you don't have to have an Etsy store. You are going to build your clientele from people that aren't necessarily shopping on Etsy, as you already are. You're engaged with some people that are at a different level. So the idea of being pissed at Cheapo, just know that we'll just call it Cheapo Charlie. Right? Cheapo Charlie is not understanding the worth of his products, or he doesn't understand his avatar.
Yep.
And that's
you touched on it there too. What resonated with me is he doesn't understand his worth. I'm now kind of getting to the point where I can batch these out, and I've got jigs, and I've got, I've got like double head drum sanders, and I've got the planers, the jointers, the jigs all set up. And I know pretty close to how long it's going to take me to get a board to finish state where I can throw it on the CNC machine, and it ain't $40. Like, I'm frugal when I find my wood, and I'm sourcing off cuts and end cuts. And, I got some African mahogany for $5 for three board foot, not per board foot, $5 for three board foot. Wow. Like, I am a frugal shopper. It's just no way now that board is going to cost, $40. Like, it's not there. So I think that also speaks to me is understanding my worth, because I immediately went into self-doubt because, I'm looking at saying, okay, well, $5,500 is, that's 55 boards at $100. I'm kind of looking at that going, okay, that's now 110 boards at $50. Can I even do that? Is that kind of, and then I started looking at, am I making any money for that? No, I'm not. And then I started getting really down on myself. And, and then I was like, and then I showed some people, some neighbors, they came by and I'm out in the shop and the doors are open, I'm making noise. And they're walking their dog. What's going on? And I show them. They're like, oh my God, that's gorgeous. Okay. Like, here's my card. If you want one, you can come by and buy it. You can customize it. So immediately snapped me back.
Right. Here's the thought for you to set in your mind. Your base cutting board without any personalization is $100.
Yeah.
Okay. Personalizing brings it up to $150.
Yeah.
All right. Or what price you ever set at. I mean, you've sold something at $175. And the cutting board stand is something that you probably want to really consider. We talked about that very briefly as an idea last week, where the cutting board stand, now somebody has this personalized cutting board and now they can display it, right? So that's an upsell. All right. And that has to be part of your dialogue with them. Once they show the interest in the board and they've got their design idea down and now they're a customer, they want this board. Now you just throw in the upsell.
Yep.
By the way, you get this personalized board, you might want to display it. So I've got the stands as a separate product that you might want to consider, and you let the customer make the decision, right? I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how to dialogue with your customers today. Okay. But we'll get to that in a little while. All right. So I'm glad you brought that up where you're looking at Etsy and there's Cheapo Charlie's on there. You're not a Cheapo Charlie. And nope. Rewarding Renee doesn't buy from Cheapo Charlie. Okay, so just know that, right? All right, so you're not in competition with him whatsoever. In fact, there is no competition. You have no one to compete with but yourself. And there can be 100 other cutting board manufacturer makers on your street. You are not in competition with them. In fact, it's better to buddy up with them. All right. So one of the other things was,
so what did you just say?
I said, in fact, you can buddy up with them. You can complement each other's businesses.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yep.
It's called masterminding.
Hmm.
Do you know what the concept of masterminding is?
Yeah. You know what? Back in a former life, I've gone through a lot of this stuff and I've forgotten most of it or kind of put it aside. And yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Totally, it makes total sense.
Yep. There's this idea of, wow, I got competition out there and how can I beat them? Right. So now we start thinking, oh, I got to lower my prices. I got to do this. People don't care about that. They care about who they're buying from and they like people. They will buy from people that make them feel good. Okay. So you can have that 100 other board makers on the same street that are making the same boards. But if you are the preferred person who's paying attention to them and empathizing with what they want, because now you understand rewarding Renee, Renee is going to prefer you, even though your board, even though it's the exact same board, is $25 higher. She will still buy from you.
Yep.
All right. So we talked about Etsy stores. You looked at them. You got an idea. So you understand the idea of clarity. If you're selling to people and you've got too many different products in too many different areas, it's going to confuse the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone brings your worth down to the customer. Right. The more disconnection you have in the products and that you're selling, the more your customer is going to look for bargain prices with you, the more you're going to attract the bargain shopper.
Is that the idea of becoming a specialist?
Yes.
And yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yep. The specialist is the master. Right. It's yep. Absolutely. Good point. Okay. You had another task, two more. There's one was the money chart, right? So whatever revenue you get, you have a 5.5K goal in 6 weeks.
Yep.
So you were to make a thermostat, basically, or a thermometer, and the top was 5.5, as of last week was zero. Have you built that?
I've got an Excel spreadsheet that's sitting on my computer and it's sitting at zero and it's every day. So it's day by day, it's a total and then a cumulative of where I'm at. So,
okay. Not good enough. Handwritten.
Okay.
There's a power behind writing. That's not behind typing something on a, you know, living in electronics. It's really fun. Here's why. So on my whiteboard right here, at the end of it, I've got a scale. And at the top of the scale is my monthly goal for this month. And you can't really see it, but every time income comes in, I get to go over and draw a little line on it and go, wow, I just added more to it. There's something about doing it that way, as opposed to having this growing chart on Excel.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll understand when you start to do it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, and the last one was Barbecue Bob, your other avatar.
Two more, but yeah, Barbecue Bob. Yep.
Yep. We have Rewarding Mary, and then you were to kind of pick out Barbecue Bob. So yep. One of the first things I want to say to you on that, I was thinking, I said, it doesn't sound right. And the reason is because Barbecue Bob makes me, no offense against names, okay, but Bob is a fairly common name.
Okay.
Right. And Bob doesn't resonate in a way of a bigger spender. Right. That's kind of the thing we want to get in here is what popped in my head was Barbecue Blake.
Okay.
Do you get the idea? Right. Blake is when I personally hear the name Blake, it somehow makes me think of someone who is in a high end suit. Right.
Okay.
And they come home and their home is this you know, five, 7,000 square foot house with a really pristine backyard. It's got the cobblestone walkways around there, and he's in his the golf shirt. What do you call them?
Polo shirt.
Polo shirt on the grill with his friends, and they're having a high end beer as they're hanging out, and they're talking about net worth.
What do they call those? Microbrew.
Microbrew, yeah. Specialty beers. He doesn't settle. He's like rewarding Mary. Rewarding Renee. I keep saying Mary. Rewarding Renee. He is one who isn't going to accept the standard Budweiser, Miller, or even the standard upscale Michelobes.
Well, it's interesting that you have that because so the first thing I had with a barbecue Blake was he has all the toys. He barbecues three times a week. Okay. He entertains. He's a storyteller. So he's the guy that stands around and is telling the story and everyone comes around him. He eats a steak medium rare. He's a bit insecure. So this is why he's got all the toys and things around him. He tells stories. I think we were diverging here of the two people, but he tells stories of his high school football glory. Yet he's got kind of the dad bod kind of gut kind of hanging out today.
Okay.
He shows off his things when people come over. Everyone's getting a tour of his toys and all that. He's on his second, maybe third wife.
Okay.
He golfs. He's got, you know, the high-end bike, possibly, like he's a cycler, so he doesn't maybe run still, but he probably got the, you know, the $7,000 bicycle that he rides with his riding buddies. He's the alpha male. He tells everyone the deals he gets, but he actually doesn't get deals. He pays full price for.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's between 45 and 60. So this is a little bit where we diverted a bit, but I had, he wants the vet, the convertible vet, but he can't afford it. But that's the guy that's there. He's reaching for something. So he puts other things around him to live in that kind of that higher level world. But there's some of those tangible things that he thinks he should have and he wants to have, but he can't afford them. So he spends on smaller things that are extravagant or top of the line to kind of show off that he kind of has the money, but he doesn't have the money. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So he's not the guy showing off with the flashy vet. Even though my dear neighbor over there has a beautiful red Corvette, he's not that guy. He's got a racing pedigree in his family. That's why he has the vet. And a long story with his father having the identical car. There's the guy that drives the regular car and doesn't care about his car. There's the guy that wants the fancy car and tries to trick out his minivan. You know, yeah. Then there's the guy that's got the flash car. And then there's the guy that's got the really nice car, but it's not flash.
Okay.
He's not that guy. He's the tricked out minivan or he's the tricked out kind of a sedan guy because he can't get to the vet. So he's trying to get the best of what he can get around him. That's okay. Kind of where I was. You know, I had also that he's got a beautiful backyard. It's manicured. He takes great pride in it. Does all that kind of stuff. He thinks of himself as a handyman, but he really does not know how to do anything. You know, and so he ends up hiring people to do a lot of the stuff, even though he thinks he can do it, and he can't. So
okay. All right, that's a very good detail. Excellent, excellent. The only thing I want you to do is tighten up the age.
Okay.
The reason is because someone who's 45 is, I'm 59, right? So I'm at the top end of your scale, and between 45 and 60, there's so many things that happen in life. The kids have flew the coop. You know, the house has been sold and have gone into a different house.
Yeah.
Yeah, the car has been sold 3 times now, all right? Replace the cars. So you want to tighten up that age to Blake?
Well, let's put Blake kind of between 50 and 60, because that's that point, right? I'm 48, I'll be 49 this summer. So I'm kind of at that point, and I can resonate with the guy. So, and I've got an older friend, one of my dear friends is, I think he's 59. So, I kind of sit in that pocket of people so that I can resonate with those guys.
Okay. All right. So what is Blake most afraid of?
He's most afraid. Oh, good question. That he's going to be found out, that he is a fraud, that he's not all the things that people think he is. Mm-hmm. He's living in past glory. He's over-exaggerating his life because it is not as good as it claims to be. When everyone leaves the barbecue or the Christmas party, he goes back and he doesn't want to be found out.
So Blake has a high stakes in maintaining an image.
Yes. Well, that was the third or fourth thing I put. He's insecure.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we know the insecurity that he's going to be found out. So here's some magic that we will work on later. Actually, we'll work on sooner rather than later, probably in the next mentoring session. But this will give you some food to think about. And it's how you start to promote your stuff and how you're communicating with with Blake or Renee. Mm-hmm. Okay. Words matter, and words have to express feelings. So if you are going to create a website, which you absolutely should, you kind of got that in your head, that I guess you've worked in that you probably know you have to.
And, oh, yeah, the digital marketing side and all that. Yeah, I'm already mapping it out. So
And on that note, I am under my business, I'm developing some platforms so people can get to doing that too. So because websites are so critical. Yep. I just want to say this as a side note for you and anyone else who is watching your mentoring session. Etsy is a great platform to start with, but it's not the catch-all end-all. It's not the one that's going to sell your products for $200, $250.
Right.
You can get high-ticket sales on that. But so it's just a point. I'll explain more of that later. Blake isn't bouncing around on Etsy, right?
Nope.
Renee, maybe a little bit. But you said she's the one who goes in specialty stores. She makes special trips to stores. You know, so she's not shopping Etsy waiting for a package to arrive.
No.
Right. Okay. So, all right. So Blake, so these are really good customers. So how do you talk to these customers? How do you resonate with them? If you have a website, your tagline, your header has to resonate with Blake and Renee. So you're going to have probably two levels. You're going to your store for men, store for women. Yeah. So, or shop for men, shop for women. It can all be on the same site. So if Renee read the first headline as a maybe 5-word sentence or so, what's the one that's going to catch her attention? Knowing Renee's pain, fear of being mediocre, and knowing what she wants. She likes to stand out, and she likes to be different, and she's always rotating stuff out of her to make sure that she is rewarding herself.
I think it's something, and I mean, I'll need to wordsmith this a bit, but it's something along the lines of, a custom, artisan custom, cutting board designed exclusively for you, something like that. It's exclusive. It's high end. It's there's like very few of them in the world. In fact, kind of my manufacturing process now is there may only ever be 4 of these exact boards ever. that's kind of how that's kind of coming together. So, and then it'll never be the same.
Right.
And in fact, for a premium, I can make it so that there will never be another one. That was the first thing that came to mind. I think, artisan, I don't know if that's high end, exclusive. I don't have to play around with those keywords, but something along those lines.
Okay. So, just for clarity, as this is a video as well, Artisan is your company name.
Yeah. So, if anybody sees anything that I type, write, or whatever, you may probably find a spelling mistake here and there. And I spell phonetically. So Artisan sounds like it is. It's not Artisan. I thought it was Artisan. So I started Googling. And I'm like, how come this name is not taken? And anyway, I went ahead and I went and got all excited about it. And then I realized that, oh, it's Artisan. So I kind of played up on it. Yeah, I'm kind of here, my logo, right? Katie had me capitalize the I, so it shows that it's intentional. Art is in,
yes,
you know, okay. And in the woodcraft.
Yep.
And so yeah, that's me. So that's kind of where, you know, art is in woodcraft, where you get artisan woodcraft.
Well, that's actually good. You're saying two things there. You're saying artisan, which is a word, right? It's a word that defines a skill, but you're saying art is in too at the same time. So that's cool.
Yeah, I'm finding that as I'm getting deeper into this, the cutting boards that I'm making, I am pulling out figure in the wood. I am spending a lot of time to make sure that they look gorgeous. And you know, it kind of goes back to that pride thing, right? Like every board has to have a wow factor. It's going to be, you know, firewood. That's kind of how it's coming right. and starting to come together. So anyway, yeah, that's what Artisan Woodcraft is. Check me out on Instagram, Artisan Woodcraft with an I.
Okay. Very cool. Send me the hashtag. And I'll put it in the video. So people can follow you on the other platforms as you get them developed. We'll make sure they can see what you're doing. Okay. So back to what we're talking, you know, when we're talking to Renee, the one key word is rewarding Renee, right? And then her fear is mediocrity.
Right.
So the things that come to my mind, you typically want your headlines to be positive.
Yep.
But you can throw in a bit of pain in there too. So it's the what came to my mind was reward yourself. Reward your kitchen, right? Or something like that. Use the word reward. And instead of like you said, it's you got to work with this a little bit. Reward yourself with your high-end kitchen product instead of the same old cutting board, or let the magic come out in the personalized cutting board, something like that. When it comes to words like that, you really have to spend time on it when you're coming up with titles. It is so fundamental because you want to hook that person immediately, and you're hooking them with what they want, but you're also hooking them with curiosity.
Let me ask you a question then around that. So, in what's calling to me and part of the why, and kind of going, you know, up and down that external to the internal pain and that back and forth. One of the things that I am really being called to is the fact that these boards, this is where food is prepared. Why food? Food is, it's a central point in family. It's a central point in entertaining. It's a central point in transfer of culture. You know, I don't speak Italian. My grandmother is Romanian. My grandfather is Italian on my mother's side. But we eat Italian food, and as a result, I'm connected to the Italian side of my family, because of the food we eat. And when I go to pre-COVID and hopefully soon, when we go to friends' homes, it's all about, you know, the food, the preparing of the food, the cooking of the food, hanging out in the kitchen and things like that. So my question with that background is, so rewarding Renee, she's got her, you know, mediocrity, fear and things like that, and wants to reward herself in that. Can I bring forward the concept of that central point, that starting point of, you know, good food, you know, reward yourself with a beautiful cutting board to prepare your next meal, your next entertaining meal, things like that. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of center back around that excitement and the connection with family, with tradition, with history, with culture in that.
Yep. So that's a good question. And that, here's my feeling on that based on your avatar of Renee. Yep. Renee is a socialite and, yep, and she has people over. Renee is about what she has in her environment. She's, from what you said, she's not about her culinary abilities. Yeah, she makes sure that she does culinary stuff, right? And she does it the right way. However, I'm feeling that she's more about impressing with her environment, impressing herself, and rewarding herself. So the short answer to that is that would be the secondary benefit that, okay, you're creating. So as you're saying, it's this the whole image is that was coming in my head. On your website, if you make pictures, pictures say a million words. So what you would likely have as the first picture that she's going to see, it's going to be a fairly large picture that would take up quite a bit of real estate on the top of your webpage. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be your best board that's personalized, but can also, but is also kind of generic, that so they get the idea that this can say anything. It's going to be staged in a way where it would be in a kitchen that is a rewarded kitchen, very modern, upper scale kitchen, maybe next to a window with, you know, is Renee contemporary or is she a little bit off the beaten path and has a deco, you know, whatever it may be. You want that feel to be in the picture. And I want to express this with the utmost importance. Your item is the central piece that she's looking at. The periphery around that item is probably even more important. So that when I say periphery, the staged background. Because they're, even though they're looking at that, there's this subliminal stuff that's happening around it that creates the impression of where it's at. If you have, yep, a white background with a cutting board, just plain background, here's a picture of the cutting board. It's so plain Jane, it's boring, and you're going to attract your $25 people. Because they don't, people never buy out of logic or out of price. They buy out of feeling, right? I'll talk about the price thing later. So Mary's looking at this cutting board and the surroundings have high end, speaks high end. That's going to subliminally tell her that this is someone, you know, this is where people go to spend $175 on a cutting board.
Yeah.
Vital, vital, vital. The periphery of your product needs to be.
It's, yeah. So
what I would not do, I'm going to wait. What I would not do is you want to go look at what people are taking pictures of. And Etsy, you'll see lots of staged pictures and you'll see 90% of them. They got a piece of food on it or next to it, piece of lettuce. Sometimes they're showing in action. Step away from that crowd because everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing the same thing. You want to be different. Your cutting board should be on a stand where it's displaying the board. The stand, you can tell it's on a stand, but you know it's a cutting board. Maybe there'd be a high-end steak knife next to it. However you do it.
That's exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah. but your words are going to say it's cutting board, right? Also find words that will upscale cutting board. Cutting board can be pretty generic. The culinary board, carver's board, something like that. So do a little research. Find some of the words that sound parlez-vous français, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's one for you too. When it comes to Blake, the man's barbecue.
Yeah.
Right. And that's probably going to show in action. There's this guy, he's well casually dressed and he is cooking on the grill and there's other guys around him and they're all, he's standing alone at that grill flipping a burger, but you can see that board.
Burger. He's flipping filet mignon or porterhouse.
Yep. Okay. There you go. Yep. And everybody's watching him. Yeah. Maybe they're all cheering. While he's flipping a porterhouse, he's holding that high-end beer or champagne up, and they're all cheering, right? They're all like clinking glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sends home such a powerful message. And, of course, the periphery is in this high-end backyard. I'm going to touch on the other side of that for just a moment. If you ever get the feeling like, oh, I'm, this is deceptive. This is cheaping people out. This is misleading. It's not misleading. First of all, you are building a product that's worthy of these people and their needs, right? And you are helping them. And in the end, you want to sell a product. You want to have a successful business. Anybody who's watching this, I'm assuming, wants to have a successful CNC business. And in order to have that, you have to embrace this sense of worth that we talked about before, and that it's okay to not only make money, but to make good money. You know, money's a good thing. Money's a good thing. Money makes us comfortable.
Yes.
So, okay. So I've done a lot of talking here. We talked about that stuff. And let's see. Yep. So one of the other things I want to talk to you about, your customers, people who've bought from you, get back in touch with them.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the name of one of the people that bought one of your boards?
Irani.
What is her name?
Irani. Eric's wife.
Okay. Irani. So go back to her. And this is what you do routinely with your customers. You know, about a month later, just go back to them. Give them a call. People appreciate that. Hey, I just wanted to know how things are going with your board, you know, with your artisan carving board. Might actually want to coin that, your artisan carving board. And let her gloat about it. I love it. It's doing this, doing that. And listen, because she's going to tell you what else she needs. If you talk to her enough, she'll tell you something else that she wants around it, without you even really engaging that. But you just want to develop that relationship, because ultimately the best customers are the ones that keep coming back. They're the easiest, and that'll avoid you having to chase new people all the time.
So with that being said, one of the things that I am not looking into, but I've started doing, is cutting board conditioner. Right. And so the tin showed up. So I've got the little round 2 and 4 ounce tins. I'm designing up a label to go onto it with, you know, kind of when this runs out, here you go, place your order kind of thing. And so I didn't have that when I sold the first few cutting boards. So that's going to be an opportunity to be able to go back to them.
Yep.
Okay. Now,
absolutely go back. So tell them. Yep, I got this now. One thing I didn't have, and I want to make sure your cutting board, your artisan carving board.
Yes.
Right. So we're gonna start getting away from the word cutting board. your artisan carving board, the one thing I want to make sure that this thing's going to last you quite a long time. So, I want to make sure you understand how to take care of it. And by the way, here's some conditioner if you need it after you give her education.
Now with that, for the previous customers, would you just as a token of gratitude, would you give it to them? I mean, yeah. My cost is like, 50 cents.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm going to just bring up somebody else that has been following some of this advice that I've given on the YouTube channel. His name is Jeff. And I've had several videos where I said, you have to give extra value. Right. And so he had an order from somebody for a custom job. So he made it. And as a side gift, he made two keychains and put them in a nice little box and just gave them as a gift. And as a result of that, delivering more than what was expected, he got a return customer who made an order for 5 or 6 more of the same things for friends. So the best way to work this from here on out is sell your carving board, but don't ever say anything about the conditioner. You can have the conditioner as a side product on there. But don't tell your customers that they are going to get that and give it to them when they get their board.
Ah, okay.
You follow what I'm saying?
Because now you're here's your board, da-da-da-da. And then, and oh, by the way, here's the conditioner. It's normally $15. Here you go. And give it to them.
Well, yep. This is normally a $15 value or $20 value.
Yeah.
Right? But because you are getting this and I want to make sure this board is going to last you, blah, blah, blah. You know how to take care of it. Here's the proper stuff. And now you have amped up your sense of the value to them. So it'll be a gift. They won't expect it until you actually hand it to them.
Yep.
And it's okay. Once all the deal is done, you can go say, do you know of anybody else that might be interested in this type of stuff? You can be humble enough and say, I'm growing my business. And, if you want to go that route, you'll get a feel if that's the right way to go. Okay. So the gift is so important, the unexpected gift.
So with that being said, I had a couple ideas from, when I was looking at things to make. So with the boards, as an example, sometimes when I'm cutting them, I get offcuts like this, right? So this is a very, very thin piece. It's like an eighth of an inch. It's, it's all hacked up and mangled up and things like that. So it's not good for a board, but I end up getting a lot of that only right now, just to show off how thin I can get that on my tools. but out of this, I could probably I was thinking I could probably get 3 or 4 bookmarks out of it. Right. And so I was thinking maybe like bookmarks for cookbooks. And I could, I could engrave something on it or whatever. And then possibly fill with epoxy so it looks kind of neat, things like that. Again, I'm cognizant of what you said about going back and having too many things, but in something like that where they're related and they're not for sale, but they're gifts as a kind of a surprise. What do you think about that?
That's perfect.
Yes,
okay. It's a completely unexpected gift, and it's going to have elegance to it. So absolutely, it's taking more work. The thing to remember is the long-term picture is what's going to pay off.
Yeah.
Right. You are making a mark on them. Whenever I send out a set of the complete set of starter router bits, okay, there's two things I do. One is I handwrite a card to every one of them.
I have that on my desk.
Okay. Number two is I give them a couple of lollipops. And the funny thing, So that's just a sticker, right? That doesn't really mean anything. It's the personal touch that matters.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an advertisement sticker.
You know what you when I got my when I got my bits from you, you threw in three suckers, lollipops.
Did I put three in there?
You put three in there. I don't know if that was is that the number you put in?
Because, usually I put like, two in. I think you got a I slipped you a Mickey maybe. I don't know. That would have been an accident.
I gave one to Sophie, Katie had one, and I had one. I didn't know if that was intentional that you gave us three because there's three of us, or it was just oops, I got an extra one, kind of like at Halloween. But yeah.
You lucked out. However, there's somebody that I knew that I talked to, and there was an error in the shipping. Yep. And he thanked me for the lollipops, and he said my daughter or yeah, whatever. He said he had six kids. And so when I fixed the other shipping issue, I made sure there were six lollipops in there. Right. And you know, he never said anything, but the message is very clear, right?
Yep.
The message is this guy heard me.
Yep.
Okay. So you always deliver that extra value. And in that way, it's kind of fun to do that because you get this you talked last time about the praise that you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now they're so surprised, you feel even better. Right.
I totally see that.
Yep. Yep. So it's such a brownie point. I hate to use that term. But brownie points are value levels.
Mm-hmm.
And you will stand out. You will not be forgotten.
So I have another question around that. So I create shorts. I've got, you know, ends and stuff that they're just too small to make cutting boards. You know, I got pieces of 8/4. I got a piece of 8/4 Purple Heart right now. It's too small to make a cutting board. I don't want to get into those camo crazy chaos boards. I don't like them. I think they're ugly. No offense to anybody that's into those things.
Not your avatar.
But what I was thinking is with those, again, looking kind of at the home decor place is creating a product that's at a lower price point, but of equal or similar quality is to make up coasters. What is that diverging too far away from where I'm at?
Not necessarily, because it aligns with your avatars.
Yeah.
Okay. Both of them are socialites. Both of them have people into their homes. So you can make coasters as well, and they can complement the boards.
Kind of what I was thinking.
Yep. Yeah. Your boards are your money makers. Thought that just popped in my head is you can give them a coaster with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the seed planted that you sell these coasters, right?
Yeah.
You just give them one. And obviously that's incomplete. There should be four coasters.
Right.
Right. So that's just a thought. Maybe you know, I want to go there, may not. I think I like the idea of bookmarks, but what's going to appeal to Blake?
Yeah. I was looking at the coasters. I was looking at, cause you know, if I'm pricing at 175, call it average, right? Because I'm looking at what I'm going to call, I've kind of, while we're talking here, I'm going to come up with the concept of a small domestic board, which is going to be, I'm thinking like a 10x14, all domestic hardwoods, right? That's going to come in at like $125 Canadian. It's going to be my starting point. And the large carving with juice groove that's made out of exotics, that's going to be 14x18. You know, that's pushing 2.25, maybe 250. I haven't priced that out. So that's kind of my product range. My entry point for a customer is quite high. So I'm looking at the what are they called? Coasters. possibly doing something with the CNC so that while I'm doing the other stuff, I can just plop a board on the CNC, let it work. So I don't have labor into it. I've just got, you know, material cost, which is scrap right now for me. And I could sell them at a low cost. Now I've got almost a, what do they call those items? Impulse buy. I can maybe make an impulse buy when I'm at shows and marketplaces and things. Again, I take things pretty seriously when you say keep focused in your niche. Would that would stay in line with the niche, with the avatar and things like that, right?
Yep. It can still be kitchen related. It's also it's social related, right? It does tie together. It's one of those little offshoots. One of the things I want to be careful of when what you said was low cost. Okay, you are not low cost.
No, I'm talking low cost. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Right. Well, the words that you say when we talk, the words we say, they reveal things about us, right? So you're not low cost. You're high end coasters. You're high end coasters like that one that Renee dumped because she got tired of it, even though she probably spent $100 on that set of coasters.
You know what? I actually went back and asked her. I was like, "Hey, just out of curiosity, where'd you get these?" She told me the store. I went and Googled them, and yeah, a set of six coasters was like $95. I'm like, wow. I personally would never pay $95 for a set of coasters.
Right.
I'm okay stealing them from the pub, you know.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. You have to get yourself in a mind frame of, yes, I would buy those coasters.
Yeah.
Because you're coming from her. And she spent $95. That's how much your coasters are going to cost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good point.
It's going to be a cross sell. Right. Yeah. So they're there for the boards. And then when they're checking out for the boards, here's your coasters, right? That compliment that board or compliment says something to Blake or says something.
Yeah, it's the style and the nature of it, and it gives a little bit more personalization. So those can have phrases and sayings and you know whatever that looks like, right?
Yep. Here's an idea. It just popped in my mind. I was doing a one-on-one with someone yesterday, and they're asking about they live along the coast, and they live along the coast, North Carolina. They live actually on one of the islands. So it's an island, but it's only like a mile off the mainland, right?
Yep.
However, the fact that it's an island, right? It's the North Dakota Keys or North Carolina Keys. It's the simple fact that it's an island means that they have higher end tours that go there.
Yes.
This guy makes these wall hangings that are yay big, and he carves a sea creature on it.
Cool.
Sells them for $150.
Right.
And it's made out of just very simple stuff, and he's moving to CNC so he can move that. And so we were talking about that a bit. I'm not sure the reason I said that other than the potential behind your product, the potential income. It's the reason, part of it is the environment that he's in. If he had the same thing here in Madison, Indiana, where I live, he wouldn't sell a single one. And if he did, he'd probably sell it for $20, right? But because these are tourists, they're in the vacation mode, they're at the beach, and this is a high-end part of the area of the beach, he can just in that whole nature charge more.
So that's an interesting thing. And again, I don't want to get too far into the product because I want to stay niched and focused.
Yeah.
But the one of the communities that I associate with is the cottage community up here in Ontario. And so it's insane. Okay, just explain the product. Somebody took an aerial photo of the cottage, of their cottage. Panoramic, so it's the picture is 30 inch panel. Okay, it's been glued onto acrylic. They then took the same picture, glued it onto another piece of acrylic, routed out the family name, glued them together, and it's listed right now in the gift shop for $350.
Okay.
It's two photos and a piece of bloody acrylic for $350.
Right.
And they're custom. And I'm thinking, okay, what else can I do in that space too?
Yeah.
You know, obviously I'm not going to do the photos, but you know, I'm looking at that kind of going, maybe I can do relief carves of their cottage, or maybe I could do relief carves of a topographical map of the bay where their cottage is. Again, it's outside of the scope of our conversation and things like that. Maybe it's a next year project, but I'm kind of looking at that, kind of going, I mean, these people, they're million, $2 million cottages. To be up there and they're just to open their cottage and hang out for the summer with their boat and all that stuff and maintenance and storage and all those things, they're $40,000 a year in expenses just to have that lifestyle.
Right.
I'm thinking they might want something back at home to remind them to, just as a keepsake, just to say, oh yeah, that's my cottage. When people come over in the off season, it's kind of that thing. And again, I'm trying not to get caught up in multiple.
I'm going to pull you back on that one, but it's good. Okay. It's good. It's a good way to think, because this expand, you can get two sales out of the same customer of the same product.
Okay. Yeah.
So you get let's just talk about your customer now has two homes, right? They got the vacation home and they've got the regular home. Okay. And their whole thing is, when they're at the regular home, yes, the summer's going to come up again and we're going to spend 4 months at our vacation home. So
buy one for your home.
Yep. So when you're dialoguing with your customer, you can say, so when do you go back home? What's it like there? Do you feel like you have this ambiance there? I can make two cutting boards for you. That way you can have that same feeling where you're at. Bring the feeling with you. Something along. Are you getting this?
I'm taking notes.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally. I hadn't even thought about that. And they might have, a rustic turn of the century style at the cottage, because it's a third generation hand down from 1905. So everything is a lot more rustic and a lot more traditional, but at home, they might be very, different. Yeah. Okay. They wear the suits and shave every day. You know, barbecue Blake wears the suits and shaves every day, when he's in the city, but when he's up in the cottage, he doesn't wear shoes and he doesn't shave and he bathes in the lake, you know? And he likes that rustic side of it.
Yeah.
But at home,
liberate himself.
What's that?
When he can liberate himself.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're like coming to the end of this. So we got a lot of discussion. I want you to kind of reflect on what we've covered here.
I do have a technical question I'd like a little bit of help with before we wrap up, if that's okay, if we can slot in a few minutes for that.
Sure.
Okay. So I just wanted to put that out there. So carry on what you were going to say.
Okay. So the one thing is, I just want you to reflect back on what we said. What are your takeaways from our dialogue today?
The biggest thing I'm feeling right now is a sense of forward momentum. Last session, it was hard. Last session, it took a while, took a couple, 3 days to settle in and, kind of come out of it. This one here, I feel I've got a lot more action points. I'm feeling comfortable. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling encouraged that I can do this. as I mentioned in one of my emails, I've had just for everyone watching, I had a few issues kind of blow up this week in the shop, and you know, I just threw it down. I was like, what the hell am I doing? And you know what? I got up the next day and looked at my why and went, okay, and got back in the shop and started working again. So, so those will happen. I feel comfortable with the customers that, the avatars. I think they need some more work. I think some of the messaging now, I see where we're going with that direction. So that's good. You know, and one of the things I'm realizing quickly is that, this is not about using the machine. This is about selling. This is about positioning the business. This is about positioning me in my head so that when I do turn this thing on, it's for a reason, it's for purpose, and it's making me money. Because I'm sitting here right now kind of anxious that that's not turning. And it's not turning, meaning it's not making me money right now. And so I'm cognizant of that, but I know that there's a purpose, and I am surrendering to the purpose and the process and following along. So
here's another way to look at that machine not running, that is not turning, is there's somebody out there you're not making happy.
Yeah. Good point.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, really good point. That's a really, really good way to look at that.
Yeah. Cool. That's interesting, isn't it?
Very.
You can look at it. It's not about you. It's about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about how you can make them happy. And that's the reward, right? The praise. Yep.
The praise.
So
wow.
That's the other thing. This thing that you like the praise of. So with your router not turning, it's not about you not making money. It's about the praise that you are not getting from making somebody happy. Right. So your mission is to make people happy. Light bulb, huh?
Yeah, that was one of those moments of got it. Yep.
Yep. Okay. What else do you take away from this?
I was not confused, but I was starting to get a little kind of boxed in and getting stuck with where is this going to go, in the sense of, okay, cutting board, stay away from everything else, and then kind of circling back. And I think the looking at from the artisan carving board, and then the gifts, and then the upsells and the cross sells. And looking at that as the way to expand the product line while still staying very committed to and focused in on the avatar at hand that we've defined, you know, rewarding Renee and Barbecue Blake, and looking at the two of them as, okay, here's what else do they need? How else can I help them? What will make them happy? And I think that's part of that whole conversation, which I feel really, really excited about.
Okay. All right. So what I will say on that is with these upsells, cross sells and things, your core is cutting boards at the moment. No, we're going to get out of that.
Carving boards.
Yep. We are the artisan carving boards. Yes. Yeah. Keep correcting me if I keep saying that. I caught myself, by the way, as well. So your carving boards are your core product. That's your main focus to get out there.
Yes.
And I like the idea of the bookmarks. I just don't start, let your mind get the ideas and get them written down of some of these side items, but don't try to start making them yet until you get a little more refinement on your carving board. Think about what Blake would like as a surprise gift. Maybe he wants that scraper for his barbecue, right? The scraper made out of mahogany with his name on it, or with Blake's wealthy saying slogan.
Yep. Totally see that. Yeah, because I'm envisioning the barbecue board, the carving board, as kind of in that 225-250 range, just because the size, weight, and heft and everything. Hey, question for you then. Okay. There is a source, when I started looking into this, that is doing, they're out of Quebec, and they do blanks. So I can buy a maple barbecue scraper blank, and then go and personalize it for him.
Totally.
Part of me is like, well, I didn't make it, and part of me is like, I'm making money, and the other part of me now in this conversation is I'm making Blake happy, so I'm gifting it to him. So I've got to keep it as I can check my language, but I've got to keep my cost as low as possible so that the value I'm giving him and the joy I'm bringing to him is high as possible. Yep. And I'm still maximizing my profit.
Yep. Yep. There's nothing wrong with buying a stock item, if you will.
Yeah.
And then you personalizing it. Yep. There's people I've seen, they buy $4 cutting boards from, we're going to say cutting boards this time, from the dollar store.
Yeah.
They carve on it and sell it for $40.
Oh, I've seen that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, absolutely.
I got pretty clear that I don't want to do that in the artisan side of it.
No.
In the gift side of it, where a customer, looking over there at Eric, if he wants to buy 50 of them and he's price conscious and these are gifts, then I might look at doing something like that because, you know, I'm trying to keep his costs as low as possible, and it's an entry into, you know, all of his customer base. And but that's not on my radar right now.
All right. Yep. Okay. So we've got some good things on there. So let's just list out some tasks here.
Yeah.
So one is the important one. You get in touch with your customers you've had already.
Yep.
I would suggest you give them that oil.
Yep.
Okay. When you get in touch with them, it's like, hey, you know, how you doing? Be fairly direct. You got the port. I want to know how you're feeling with that. And, you know, what does it look like in your kitchen? Where are you keeping it at? You know, if they say, well, I put it in the drawers, you want to give that pause. Really? I make stands for those things. Right. But you get to that a little bit later. First, you want to give them the gift. Well, you know, I want to make it. So you got to get in touch with your customers. Have your gift ready.
Yep.
Okay. Come up with a quick side gift, one that's going to the surprise added value. And get some of those, at least the blanks. Get them ready to go. I'm writing these down as well. So those are the two cores there. That's, you know, we're moving into building your sales base now. I would say also start thinking about, I'm sure you already have been, is your online presence. You have to have a website, and you've got some experience with that. So I want you to start focusing on getting that, the base of that set up.
Yeah. So what I've done there is I started with Instagram for just putting it out there so people can see my work. It's easy. It's totally accessible. And I'm getting some contacts, private messages through that. While I'm doing that, I'm trying to hone in, not trying, I am honing in the avatar with you, which will then form the basis of my landing page, my hero pages, that customer journey process through that. And I will be using Shopify to actually place orders and put the orders through. So that's all that's been going on in the background when it rains or when I'm not feeling the shop. I was slowly doing that. It's now going to be ramping up quickly for that perspective. So, since we last spoke, I put up my YouTube channel. So I took some videos that my daughter filmed of me, that Katie filmed of me, silly little things, kind of that I was doing on the machine and all that, and just kind of some reflections. And I took kind of just bits and bobs of stuff because I didn't know where I was going to go. So I figured while I'm in that state, I should probably record some stuff. And so given the fact that we're doing this, I think what I'll do with my channel is I'll do kind of like a midweek check-in so that people can see my progress. And I'll talk about what I'm doing. I'll talk about kind of my numbers right? Yeah, let's do that. I'll talk about my numbers because I did that the last time because I kind of had this goal that I want to pay this machine off within 3 months.
Okay.
So prior to you and I meeting, one of the things we haven't spoken about is I made some candle stave, wine barrel stave candle holders. So I've got a side contract with that. It's private label. I my branding's nowhere near it, and I do it for a winery down Niagara on the lake. So it's, you know, it's a good $45 in my pocket for a half hour's worth of work, and you know, it's there's 300 of these things available for me to make if I want to. So that's one of the other things. It's not part of our 5,500. It's part of another personal goal that I had, which was to pay this off in 3 months. So I've got my own personal challenge. So I'll keep a log of both of those so people can watch that as well. Okay. And I'll get you the link for that.
Yep. Yep. Send that to me. I'll put that in the description of this video. And again, your Instagram and with that as well.
What, because you've got a lot of experience with this space. I detest Facebook like the plague. It's such a bad term now because of COVID, but I hate Facebook. But in your experience with other people that you're talking to, your kind of thoughts of kind of gut on the avatars that we're dealing with, do you think it's even worth time right now putting anything on Facebook?
Yeah. Yes, I do. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is I don't give a fuck if you like Facebook or not, right? You go where the people are at, right? And if you want to make money, if you want to have a successful business, you
go. Enough said. I got it.
All right. The thing is start finding out where Renee.
Yeah. If Renee's on Facebook, I'll be on Facebook. And if Bob's there, I'll be there.
Yep.
But if not, then.
Yep. That's the other task I want to give you is to find out where Blake and Renee are hanging out online. Okay. Are they reading blogs? Are they hanging out on Facebook? Where are they hanging out on Facebook? Yeah. Not just that, not just the online. Where are they hanging out offline? So you said Renee's a part of clubs. She's a golfer and she's in golf clubs.
Yep.
Right. So what is Blake a member of? Where is he hanging out at? So that's some of the things you have to identify as well. All right. Yep. So where do Blake and Renee hang out online and offline? Most of your avatar, most of your sales are going to initiate from offline.
I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's going to be a strong word of mouth side of things. That's kind of where I'm seeing this kind of go. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing Renee as an influencer, and I see her as, oh my God. Yeah. People come over to her house and people want to emulate her and they're going to want their version of the carving board. They're going to want their version of whatever. Yeah.
So when you're talking to Renee, you want to plant that seed in her mind that you're the guy that she is going to go to impress her friends, to help her friends. She wants her friends to feel as rewarding as she's given herself. It's kind of that's a broad blanket statement. It's just going to take some thought to know how to approach Renee. We'll get into how to talk to your customers more.
What about the idea of a rewards program or something like that for referrals?
As long as it doesn't have the idea of cheap or discount.
High end. It would be, you know, like if somebody buys a board based on, you know, a comment that you made or, you know, a review that you made, then I'll send them a stack of coasters or something.
Yeah, you can do that. That's going to take a little bit of thought.
Okay.
Because
on the technical side, I mean, that's, I can do that all day long. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
It's more on the market perception that I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let that one sit with me for a little bit.
Okay.
Something doesn't feel right with that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I want to try to get the feeling out of why that doesn't quite feel right. Is
two things just popped into my mind. One, we didn't talk about Mommy Mary with the toddler stand.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about her, so I've got a avatar for her and some other things, but we'll talk about that another time.
Yep.
And then the other thing is I found or thought of a third avatar for the boards, and that's Cooking Kathy, or she's Foodie Francis, one of the two.
Yep.
And she's the person that is all about the cooking. She is all about her tools and her utensils and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So those are two things we didn't talk about, but they're also on the list. So
yeah, with Cooking Kathy, and we're gonna call her Culinary Kathy, right? Yep. Yeah, we're going to get out of common words to get into the...
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yep. Culinary Kathy is the
except
one...
for Cheapo Charlie. Cheapo right. Charlie is there, yeah.
Right. Culinary Kathy is the one that you're going to impress with the... why a pine board is going to affect the food differently than...
Yes.
Than the maple, walnut, whatever combo, whatever you're going to do. So, yeah, we'll talk about that more later. The toddler stand. What I want you to do is you can do this on your own now. Just come up with the Mommy Mary. Let's do a different name. Mommy. Okay, it can be Mary.
Well, you liked Mary so much, I figured, because you kept on replacing Mary with Renee.
I think mediocre Mary. Right, so that's why.
Oh, okay, got it.
Let's get a different. So just develop her and think about how she can tie in with rewarding Renee.
I kind of see them as a similar person, just in a different stage in life.
Yeah.
I see Mommy Mary becoming rewarding Renee,
right.
In a later part of her life.
Right.
Right now, she's all about her kid, and you know, she's got. The kid wasn't even born and the kid was on a waiting list for 3 Montessori schools. You know, that's that kind of mom. And she's read every book and she's watched every video on how to parent and all that kind of stuff. And having her child right beside her when she cooks food is the latest thing. Right. So her son or daughter has to do it.
Right.
Okay.
So we are quite overshot on time. So let's get this wrapped up. You've got your task list. So you wanted a technical question. Let's go.
One technical question. Yes. So I'm going to be doing a marketplace, and so I'm going to make a 2x2 board. Okay. Out of 1/2 inch MDF. Okay. So a couple things happened on this. Let's see if I can zoom in here a bit. Here, let me just make this bigger.
I can see it.
Okay, so a couple things happened. One, you can see that the circles in the zero blew out.
Yep.
Okay, where's the camera there? Okay, the second thing is that part of it got kind of deep, and this is only 1/2 inch piece, right? So I want to make this like 1.5 feet wide.
Okay.
Right? This is only like 10 inches. Mm-hmm. I want to make it much larger. And then I want to put on the bottom of it, you know, some service offerings, that kind of thing. Wow, the rain's coming down. Anyway, so my question is, how do I prevent the V-bit from going through the wood? Because yep. I went and ran the path. Hold on, something's getting wet. Hold on.
Okay. I'm going to pause this recording while he's taking care of that.
Heaven's opened up. It is.
Okay.
Okay. So the question is how do I prevent the bit from going through the wood, but also having the bit be wide enough or the tool path be wide enough? Am I asking the right questions? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know where you're going. Yeah. Yeah. So you're V-carving this and...
is that the right way to do it? I'm thinking.
Well, not always, but in this case, it's okay to V-carve. If you want to put your sign up in the screen again. Okay. So how big is your finish sign going to be?
This outer dimension of the logo will be a foot and a half wide.
Okay. So that is going to make very deep carbs. So there's two ways to go about this. One is not to use a V-bit at all, where you can avoid it and just use a flat bottom bit. And the other alternative is where you can use a V-bit is to go to a broader angle, like a 120 degree V-bit. That's something most people don't get educated on or what have you. That's why I've stocked them in the Woodcraft IDC Woodcraft store. In fact, I almost never use anything else now, unless I'm doing really fine detail. Okay. So even small letters, I don't have a, I do have a sample. Hold on.
Yeah, while he's out, I don't know if you can see that, but that almost carved right through.
Yep. Okay. So we'll talk about that thing too. I'm making these beer flights.
Yes.
Okay. And you can see just by the size of my finger, these are small letters. Typically yep. use a 60 or a 90 on that. I'm using a 120 on that because all I'm doing with the lettering is I'm filling it in with the CA glue, with a brownish color CA glue. This stuff's great, by the way. I'll put a link down below for that stuff. I have a 10% discount code for this stuff, so I'll put that down in the description of the video. But I use the CA, I use a very shallow cut when I can. Even on small letters, I fill it with CA glue, I spray it, and in 30 seconds, I can sand all this down. Because the answer to your question, I kind of diverted for a minute.
All right.
If you're getting really big, use a flat bottom bit. Okay. For V carves that are getting larger, you got to go to like a larger angle, which is a 120 V bit. So I'll put a link for 120. If whoever's watching this is trying to make larger carves and they're getting too deep, then use the V bit. The other technique that can be used is what they call flat depth. And so I'm going to share screen quickly so I can try to show this. Let's get into a design. Do I have something here that, that's one I actually did a video on just recently. Okay, so let's just say this person here wants to use a V-bit. This is what, 24 inches big, something like that.
Yeah, that's basically the size of my sign.
Yep, and they want a little bit of angling in the edge of the C, but they want to stop. There's something called flat depth, and this is usually, you'll find this in Vectric, you'll find it in Fusion 360, you'll find it in Carve Co. And so if I go into a V-Carve toolpath, and I bring that in, there's a field that's called flat depth. And that flat depth field I can tell the V bit, which is set up right here, to only go down to a certain depth. And then from there, it'll stop and the rest will be flat. So I'm just going to give you an example. And then we have to stop this. I got to remove that. And I'm going to carve this with let me just get my bit in there, make sure, okay, I'm using a 90 degree V bit. This is going to go all the way through the material and then some, I believe. No, it didn't go. I must not have. Okay. Well, this will kind of show it. This is a flat depth using a V carve. Okay. So we've got an angle around the whole edge of this thing from the V bit. Yep. All right, and so, but the flat depth, that's why it didn't do that. I'm going to go back into this. I'm going to uncheck the flat depth. So now that V-bit is going to calculate, I'm going to get a warning that I'm cutting all the way through the material. So what this is doing is taking a 90 degree V-bit, and it is cutting everything out way.
That's deep. What happened to my template. Yeah, that's right. What happened to my test.
That's what you're talking about. So you're... Vectric, Carveco both have this. feature where you're using this flat depth. I don't know how Carveco states it, but when I set that to a 0.1, now that V-bit will only go down that deep, and then I tell it that I'm going to use a second bit to smooth all that out. We're going to generate this without the second bit. We're just using a V-bit. And it runs okay. After reset, run it again.
So would you run it like to clear it out with an end mill and then come back and do it with the V-bit to do the edge?
Yep. You see how it's kind of chopped up there in the image?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's because it's doing it all with a V-bit. Now if I bring in the end mill and I just say, let's put in an 1/8-inch flat bottom. And I rerun the same exact path. Run it. And for some reason that got really dark. I don't know why that just did that. I'm gonna refresh that. That's kind of weird that that turned out like that. Why did that switch? I've never seen Vectric do that before.
Okay, but so in workflow, what I'm hearing you say is that do the end mill first, and then would you do an offset so it comes in whatever, like, I don't know, 0.1, and then do the outside of it in with a 90-degree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. I don't know why that just came out dark. Oh, there it is. So I have to run all my toolpath. Close. Yes. What you said is come in with a flat bottom bit and then finish it up with a
90 degree.
Okay, so cool. I'm running all kinds of stuff here now because it's I've been working on this. So I was just like, okay, I'll try that. But you get the idea now. So now we got a nice flat bottom here. That little step is because there's other tool paths in here that are already set up. So yeah, going back to it, you use your flat bottom, set that flat bottom depth, use a flat bottom bit, and then come back in with your angle bit. 90 degree, 120, whatever, and that will keep everything at a certain level. It will never go past that level.
MDF, would I use a down cut or an up cut?
Down cut. Okay. In this case, I'd probably say use an up cut if you have it. Because up cuts will create burrs on the edge of the wood.
But
you come back
it off anyways.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So an up cut, you can actually run it faster and get a cleaner surface finish.
Oh, good to know. Okay, cool. Thanks, man.
Okay. All right. So with that, yep. We went quite a ways over. You're learning a lot, though, and I'm excited to see the path that you're going on. So, all right, my friend. Then we will talk.
Looking forward to it.
Yep, and keep me updated with any changes or any things to celebrate. I'd want to hear it so I can do it.
All right, then. Okay, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Have a great day. Thanks again for your time.
Yep.